Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I just noticed something cool about that theme, which you can't hear because while we're recording. But this guy says right now in the video, in the music, and then I usually start talking. Why did it take me so long to realize this? All right, hello everybody. It's Rodney
with Cole.
Hello.
Today we were going to talk about the PlayStation 5 event and Season 4 Modern Warfare, but all that's been delayed because of things happening in the U.S. So
crazy things,
yeah. So here we are. We're going to talk about Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. How exciting! You excited, Cole?
Oh, I'm super excited.
Have you had much thought into what the sequel's going to hold, or what?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like, I can't remember when that trailer dropped for it. The sequel is in development. That was a long time ago.
Looks like 2019.
Really?
Yeah, E3 2019.
Oh, I thought it was farther back than that. But yeah, I've had a lot of thoughts since then. And yeah, let's crack them open.
Totally. Will was going to be here, but he couldn't get the computer to start. So every time something's wrong with the computer, he always calls me. He goes, I can't get your fucking fucking computer to start. Because I gave him my very piece of shit Lenovo laptop out of the goodness of my heart. And yeah, so now it's my fault.
Why doesn't he get a new computer? He's living the bachelor life. He's living the best Will life he can. He should just get a new computer.
I think he's building a gaming PC right now, actually.
Oh, I have such a fear of building a PC that I'm going to finish it all and try to turn it on and it's not going to work.
Well, you don't build it. You get somebody else to build it, but you tell them what parts to put in.
I know people who build their own computers.
Well, yeah, me too, but I'd rather not fuck it up.
Yeah, me neither, because I'm a fuck up.
You're a Doug, as we work on as well.
I'm a Doug.
All right, guys. All right. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 coming up right now, right now, right now, right now. All right, guys, welcome to the show. It's going to be a little lonely, little feckless without Cole today, or without Will, I think.
Poor Will.
Poor Will. He needs to get a
with
new computer.
With your crappy computer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's look at Breath of the Wild 2. So this trailer came out, like I said in the intro, June 11th, 2019. And yeah, so here's pretty much it. We'll talk about everything that's been confirmed for Breath of the Wild 2, and then we'll go into speculations and stuff they should add and all that. So in the trailer, it shows them going underground, presumably under the castle, I would imagine, because it's still got like old ruins and stuff that look similar to the construction of the castle. Link and Zelda are walking through this with torches.
They're not walking, they're riding. They start riding.
You're right. Zelda, lazy fucking bitch, is riding this tusky, mammoth-looking thing. And Link's walking, so we know who the real hero is. Anyways, yeah, and then there's still some, I call it calamity goo, that liquidy dark shit that you take damage from in Breath of the Wild?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Calamity Goo?
I call it
Isn't
Calamity
it just
Goo.
Darkness?
Sure.
But
anyways, a rat's running from Calamity Goo. And next shot is Link and Zelda and Mammoth Dude walking across this underground bridge with luminous stones luminescing. That's a shirt. Luminescing stones. And then there's a picture of Zelda holding up a torch and Link in the background. And my first thought is, have they fucked yet? I mean, they've only been waiting for like 100 years to see each other.
Aren't they like... Not siblings, but they're, like, chosen together or something.
Oh, dude, like, have you not read Zelda's diary in Hyrule Castle? Like, she wants the Link D. She wants the D-Link.
She wants to deflower the Link. Link's asexual, man. Link doesn't... He's like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, and then, you know, some shit happens, and then it reveals this humanoid, mummified-looking Ganon motherfucker thing. Ganondorf, we'll call him. And
Ganondork. Get your best Legend of Zelda jokes here on the Video Games Now podcast. But yeah,
yeah.
Reveal Ganondork.
Okay, so that's what the trailer holds. I want to sidebar this later, but let's talk about where this game falls on the Zelda timeline, because that's super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so then they say the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is now in development.
Well, what about the Hyrule Castle raising up?
Yeah. Cut to Hyrule Field as the castle blasts off. Where is it heading? To the moon, 500 feet above its previous position. Do we follow Link away from Hyrule, or perhaps we might stay below and play as Zelda?
Because this was originally DLC, right? Like this
yes.
trailer and this thing that they cut together was DLC, and they were like, hey, this story is actually pretty interesting. And it kept getting bigger and bigger, and they're like, why don't we just make this into the sequel?
Yes, I think Eiji Aonuma said that it was too big to be DLC. So then they're like, okay, well, let's just take it away and just make it a whole new game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so few tidbits that slipped out during the E3 2019. He talked about the team's desire to return to the established Hyrule from Breath of the Wild and to incorporate new gameplay and story in that world. This grew from an overabundance of ideas for DLC. He specifically called it a continuation of Breath of the Wild, so this is definitely the same Zelda and Link we've grown over the past years, or grown to know.
I got a quick sidebar question. What do you think is the perfect amount of DLC for a game like this? As in, like, you look at, like, Witcher, and Witcher had the three big DLCs. And there's like other action adventure games that kind of have, like, Pokemon has the Sword and the Shield DLC. You know, like, what do you think is a good? And then Legend of Zelda, for instance, had two DLCs. Do you think two is good? Three?
So I'm gonna say this, and I mean this in
no
the best
DLC?
Way. I'm gonna say this in the best way possible. Breath of the Wild itself was kind of empty. Like, there was a lot of empty space. Like, it was filled with fucking Korok seeds and, you know, random enemies and horses and wildlife and stuff like that. But, like, the game itself was empty. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, it was like, go to this corner, go to this corner,
yeah,
go to this corner.
Go to this little development of houses, and you know what I mean? Yeah, it felt empty. So, I mean, that to me showed me that there could have been more DLC maybe sprinkled around somewhere. But I get why it was empty. I get that Ganon took over the castle and Calamity Gooed the fuck out of everything, and now everyone's dead, except for a select few people, right? But
except for his stables. The 10 stables.
Yeah. I really did like the DLC for Breath of the Wild, because each beast that you did, you got a very small snippet of who the champions were, and they were all super interesting as characters.
Yeah.
And the most interesting being Zelda, because you saw more of her and the development of her character than anybody else. But I felt like the story wasn't finished being told in terms of the champions, and the DLC literally fixed all those problems that I had with that, because they gave you more to do with each champion, and then you got your own divine beast. I was like, this is fucking bitchin'. So yeah, so I think two's enough. Depending on
two's good.
Like, what else could they do if they're going back to the same Hyrule?
Well,
like,
I mean,
what else
they said
do?
That they had an overabundance of DLC ideas. Like, they're like, there's too many DLC ideas. We got to make a new game. And do you think that they should have continued to work on the first one rather than jumping into the second game? Or are you glad that they're going right into the second game?
I think I'm glad they're going into the second game because, like I said, it was empty. Like, what else could you do? Like, with Smash Brothers, like, you could come out with an unlimited amount of characters and call it DLC, but with Breath of the Wild, like, what else is there to do? Right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, let's find the burial place of the first Link or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else you could do, really.
Hmm.
But anyways, the sequel is being directed by some dude whose name I can't pronounce, the same man who took the wheel on the previous game, as well as
that's
several...
why we need Will here.
Yeah.
he can pronounce those Japanese names.
Hidemaro Fujibayashi. That's what his name is.
Nice. Nailed it.
Fujibayashi reportedly took inspiration from Skyrim while developing Breath of the Wild, and series boss Aonuma confirmed that many of the younger staff on the sequel had been playing Red Dead Redemption 2. Although how that will manifest in the final product is still unknown at the moment, Aonuma also said this entry of the series will be darker, so much more Majora's Mask than Majora's Cap.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good.
I was thinking about that, like, which Legend of Zelda games don't, because I don't think it's Ganon. Obviously, I don't think that this dead person here is Ganon, but how many games, Legend of Zelda games, don't have Ganon as the villain? Because Majora's Mask is one of them.
Minish Cap, all the four swords, it's Vati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Majora's Mask, like you said.
Link's Awakening, I'm on the last area of Link's Awakening, and I never finished it. I'll have to go back and try to beat it, but it's the giant bird. I don't think Ganon's really a part of it. I could be wrong, because, I mean, they could just be like, it was Ganon dressed as a giant bird.
Well, it is a fictional land, so who knows? But, alright, so let's talk about the placement of this and the timeline. So, before 2012, I think it was 2012, everybody was speculating the chronological order of all the Zelda games until finally Nintendo officially released a Zelda timeline and blew everything out of the water because no one ever expected there to be a third branch of a timeline, which is where the hero got defeated. So I don't know how that plays out, because in Ocarina of Time, apparently Link loses and then everything the whole kingdom falls into the downfall timeline. But how, like, does Zelda just pick up the Ocarina of Time and go, oh, doo-doo-doo-doo, and it's all fine, and we have a round two? Like, I don't understand how that works.
I remember, isn't that that book? They have that book of all the Link timelines. I wanna try to find that.
Hyrule Historia.
I like that a lot. Like, I like the hero losing sometimes. I know, I think it makes things interesting. I like post-apocalyptic thingies.
Yeah. My thought is, I wonder if this Link is the Link that lost. Because this is the only Link that has ever been defeated, ever.
Well, I mean, isn't that what happened? Isn't 100 years ago, they lost?
Yeah, and then Link got defeated.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this Ganondorf in this trailer, I'm assuming it's Ganondorf, he's got the fucking orb of eye or Sockus or whatever the fuck in his forehead, and he's got red hair and he's got brown skin. Like, is this not Ganondorf from Ocarina of Time? I wonder if the sages did something to him so that he wouldn't take over the kingdom.
So do you think this might be a sequel? Like, this is might be you playing Link when he loses?
I think the Link that loses in the original might... Well, actually, no, that can't be... that can't be either, because when Link lost in Ocarina of Time, obviously that was the ordeal of Ocarina of Time, but this story is totally different than Ocarina of Time, because it's the four champions, you know what I mean, right? So that didn't exist for Ocarina of Time. I don't know. I think Nintendo just kind of half-assedly threw a fucking timeline together and didn't put much thought into it.
Or they're way overthinking it, and it's just, like, super nutty.
And a couple of other things in this game. There's one memory in particular where Zelda knights Link, and she says something about Twilight something rather. Like it was she was referencing Twilight Princess. So that would almost put this game in the child timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It hurts my brain to think about.
Yeah, I'm trying to read this and figure it out at the same time. It's pretty
elaborate.
Yeah, intense. Like I can't tell if it's sloppy storytelling or if they're just like, you know, like anthology. They're just like we want to tell a story in this setting and we can just throw it into this timeline.
Yeah, the downfall timeline makes kind of no sense to me. It's like all the games they couldn't explain, they just fucking threw it in one timeline. But like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like
on the Discord, somebody's gonna have to throw up their best explanation of the Zelda timeline. Explain it to us. We can't figure it out.
Well, the child and adult timelines make perfect sense because it's child timeline's the timeline that Link was sent back to after he saved Hyrule after Ocarina of Time, and then all those games follow. That all makes perfect sense. And then in Twilight Princess, you know, the skeleton guy that you learn your skills from, that's the hero of time. Because he, wandered back into the Lost Woods to find Navi, and adults can't live in the Lost Woods and they become Skelfos. So that's the hero of time. And then he's passing his knowledge down to the new Link because the Hyrule never recognized him as a hero because he was sent back to before all the shit happened. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool. The adult timeline makes sense because Zelda sends Link back, and now there's no hero to save Hyrule when it gets fucked, right? So boom. That all makes perfect sense. It's the downfall timeline that makes no sense.
Interesting. Yeah. But the downfall timeline's kind of... Yeah, what happens when you lose?
Yeah. Okay, so... moving on.
Breath of the Wild 2.
So here's what people are speculating about Breath of the Wild 2. The short haircut suggests that Zelda might be getting in on the action this time around. As we said above, a neat bob won't get caught on swords and scabbards strapped to the character's back. Playing as the princess would be an easy way to freshen up the spin on the formula. There's only been one game where Zelda's been playable, besides Smash Bros., obviously, which was Spirit Tracks.
I never played Spirit Tracks.
It was okay. It was
on the DS. What about the Battle Royale one? What's that called?
Well, that doesn't count. That's not canon.
No,
Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah. Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, I think it could be really interesting. I mean, Zelda's got, like, so much interesting, playable possibility, you know, potential.
What if it could be co-op? That'd be cool. If one person was Link, one was Zelda? That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be... Interesting. It's funny how so few games have co-op now. Like it's, you mean like couch co-op or do you mean like online co-op?
Both. I think more couch co-op, but here's the thing is like, I hate games that build a co-op experience, like a full co-op experience. But when you don't have anyone to play with, the game becomes unfun. Because now you're controlling this fucking NPC bullshit character. Like, go over there and do that. And then they kind of, like, half-assedly go over there and, like, get stuck on stupid collision and then, like, forget what they're doing. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
And then you get the other spectrum when you're playing, like, Mario Galaxy, where one person plays as Mario and one person plays as
Star Pointer
that collects... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's... I mean, it's difficult to do it in the middle, right? Like Sea of Thieves is a good example because when you beat the Sea of Thieves the story mode, what's the adventures called? I can't even remember.
The Gold Hoarders or something?
Yeah, when you complete the Shores of Gold, when you go to the Shores of Gold, there's all of these puzzles and all of these things that you have to do as a team, but you also have to be able to do it when you're on your own. You know, like it's so it's kind of tough to find the balance of something that's fun for two or more people and also doable when you're by yourself.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I could if they made Zelda an intelligent AI character and had
which is an oxymoron. Sorry, I'm just having nightmares of Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, I suppose. I still think the best AI I've ever encountered in the last, like, 5 years was Fallout 5. Or, I'm sorry, Far Cry 5.
Far Cry 5.
like the best AI. Like, your guns for hire were super smart, except the rocket launcher guy. He was really fucking stupid. He would, like, hide behind a tree, and they'd be like, oh, there's a guy, and he would rocket launcher the tree and kill himself. You're like, all right, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, well, at least that's one less guy we gotta,
yeah.
gotta take care of.
But yeah, if there was good AI as a Zelda person who was with you the whole time, I think that would be super cool. Like, what I'm thinking of is when you're fighting Ganondorf in Wind Waker and she's, like, shooting arrows at him. Like, shit like that. Like, she actually helps you fight and find stuff and is actually a useful sidekick character. Because Breath of the Wild... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what if you can choose between, like, what if Link is the side character and Zelda is the protagonist, but not, like... But you can, like, pick between the two of them. Like, you're like, oh, I gotta play as Zelda, and then Link has to be the side character. You know, something where you can, like, swap back and forth between them?
Kind of like Luigi and Gooigi in Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah. Link
Except,
and
yeah.
Goo-Zelda.
Goo-Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be interesting. Now that's making me wonder what the puzzles are going to be like if Zelda's going to be a playable character, or if she will even be a playable character.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is different. Because you're not saving Zelda now. You're doing something else.
Yeah. Entirely, so. In every game, do you save Zelda? In every single game?
Pretty much. Other than... Yeah, pretty much. There's a couple games, I'm blanking on them right now, but where you don't save Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Link's Awakening, you don't save Zelda. You save the Windfish.
Yeah, and you save... the horse girl, what the heck's her name? Marina? Marella?
Marin?
Marin? Yeah.
Something like that. Alright, so this is speaking at E3 2019 with both IGN and Kotaku. E.G. Awanuma artfully dodged a question regarding Zelda as a playable character, whether in solo or co-op mode. When asked, he replied with this vague statement. It's kind of an interesting that you bring that up, because Breath of the Wild, you see Zelda and Link together often too, so... To go straight into the thought of co-op is very interesting to me. Is co-op interesting to him, or simply the notion that, according to the interviewer?
I kind of, like, agree a little bit. Like, what we were talking about that, I'm like, are we just, like, heavily overreacting? And are they just, like... Because in Breath of the Wild, you have all your flashbacks where you and Zelda are just chilling and doing shit, you know? Like, is this them just chilling and doing shit, and then something happens, and she's like, oh, Link, I'm gonna go, take care of the grass and the flowers, and you go and fight this guy after they discovered him.
I swear to God, if you play the first, like, hour of the game, and then Zelda gets kidnapped, I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Like, I just fucking saved you, bitch.
I don't know if she'll get kidnapped, but, like, she'll just be, I don't know, support.
Most Zeldas are very much the damsel in distress, but this Zelda is not afraid to get her hands dirty. Like, she's like, alright, I'm the only one left, I'm just gonna roam in solo and fucking take on Ganon, hold him off for 100 years until some help arrives. Like, that's pretty fucking ballsy.
Yeah.
Alright. So we have Aonuma, yada, yada, yada. It's not much to go on, but Aonuma has become adept over the years at deflecting lines of questioning and giving cryptic responses. Well, yeah. all we can really deduce is that he's familiar with the concept of co-op, obviously, and heard that the fans hoping to play Zelda in the previous game. This is my favorite Zelda, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite Zelda in terms of her character. Before that, it was Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword was, I don't know.
I stopped at, like, I played Twilight Princess, and I love Twilight Princess, but there's just something about Skyward Sword that wasn't really a hook for me.
Mm-hmm.
But how was she in Skyward Sword? What was the Zelda like then?
She was very waifu.
You liked that? You were into that?
Yeah, I was into that. But basically, she's the... I don't even know how to explain her character. I don't know. She just hooked me in the very beginning, and it made me want to save her. Like, that was my whole motivation for playing the game. Like, it didn't just be like, oh, like, Ocarina of Time does a kind of a shitty job of that, to be honest. And I'm about to bash the most heavily reviewed game of ever, but...
Yeah,
you leave the forest, and you meet this fucking little girl who's a princess, and you're like, oh, hey, what's up? And she's like, hey, you need to do all this shit. Why? Like, there's no motivation for me to do all this shit. You know what I mean? It's just, they're just telling you
because
to do all
I told
this shit.
You.
Yeah. And then you go and you do all this shit and you come back and you pull the Master Sword out and then time goes on, you never see this chick again. Okay. And they're like, oh, it's the princess. Mm-hmm. Like, you grew up in a forest, you don't know the fucking concept really of the royal mm-hmm. family.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game it's like, oh hey, I was talking to you this whole time, and you're like, cool. And then she gets kidnapped and you're like, oh, I must save Zelda. It's like, you fucking barely know the fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, so that Ocarina of Time is a very cookie cutter Hollywood formula.
Yeah, it's very like, it's what the people want.
Yeah, it's your
typical hero story.
Yeah, it's like the exact same concept that Harry Potter is based off of, or what Star Wars is based off of. It's like, your parents are dead, but they were they didn't even say this in Ocarina of Time, but when your parents were alive, they were super freaking awesome at doing this, but now they're dead, and now you had no idea that this world existed, and you need to go out and save the world. You know what I mean? It's the same fucking cookie cutter thing.
Mm-hmm.
The hero's journey is what it's called.
Yeah, which people like people enjoy that. Like, when you stray too far and get weird, like, you start to lose a certain slice of the pie, where Ocarina kind of hits everything.
Yeah, but in Skyward Sword, which is what I liked about this Zelda, is the first 25-30 minutes of the game, you're introduced to Zelda and Link and the relationship, and you guys know each other for your childhood friends, essentially, and it builds the chemistry and the relationship between you and Zelda. And then when Zelda gets sucked into the fucking undercloud world, whatever the fuck, and you go to save her and you fail, it's like, fuck. Like, that gives you motivation to continue doing what you're doing and to actually play the game.
Mm-hmm. So. Lost, man. Lost gives you a reason to keep going.
Yeah.
That's why I play all my games on my hardest difficulty, because I lose 500 times, and I'm like, I gotta beat it.
But what Breath of the Wild did ingeniously is you have no memories of what happened 100 years ago, and if it's your first time playing the game, you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, and there's this gigantic open world, and I'm just gonna go exploring. And that's the whole game, is you're exploring Hyrule for the first time, essentially. And my favorite part was the memories. First of all, for the puzzle aspect of it, because it's like, here's a place, and then if you didn't know where the place was, like I did, I didn't look anything up, right? You just look at the picture, and you're like, okay,
you
well,
you
got to
figure it out from the picture. Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, it's like, okay, there's desert mountains here, and there's trees there. Like, I'll look somewhere around here, and then you start to piece it all together, and then the reward is this memory and this really cool story plot point that is out of sequence, because no one finds all the memories in sequence. So
yeah, right, you just kind of go where, oh, I recognize this area, I'm gonna go there, because you can pick any direction you want to go first. So
yeah, so I really like that. I really like that they told a story out of sequence and you had to piece together everything, and at the end of it all you're like, man, this Zelda girl is fucking awesome, I need to save the Zelda girl.
Yeah, she's saving you, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, yeah,
she's been saving you for 100 years.
Yeah. Alright, playing the reveal trailer backwards for clues reveals that, although it certainly sounds creepy, findings are inconclusive for anyone hoping to discover a hidden message.
Well, I mean, people do that a lot. Like, they'll put things in, or you have to play, you have to slow it down at this point and do this and ba-da-da-da-da to find stuff, but I would have never have thought to play it backwards. There's nothing in this trailer that makes me think, like, playing it backwards.
If you play it backwards, there's no fucking conflict in this game. Because Ganondorf dies, and then
is it because of the music?
Yeah, I think
so. Oh yeah, because the music kind of sounds like when you talk, the way we talk ends a certain way, and then when you replay it, it sounds like you're sucking everything in. That's kind of how the music sounds in the trailer.
Oh, this brings up an interesting point. What if you somehow go back in time 100 years and see, portions of Breath of the Wild's Hyrule before the Calamity. So,
populated Hyrule?
Yeah, like, you go to Castletown, and it's fucking Castletown. It's bustling, and there's people there, and there's wagons, and side quests, and shit like that. That'd be interesting. But how would they do that? How would they keep that canon?
Yeah, that would be tough, but really cool. Like, it would be super interesting. Like, this feels like a post-apocalyptic Zelda world.
Yeah.
Having a non-post-apocalyptic Zelda world would be interesting. Like, seeing the gates or the wall and the cities and the forest and stuff that are all destroyed and taken over. Wait, where was that Battle of the Guardians when they attacked that wall in the woods?
Yeah.
Seeing that as, like, a town would be really cool.
There's a video on YouTube, I think Zeltic, he has a bunch of shit on Breath of the Wild too, but one of the videos he said that there's a, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's by Kakariko Village, I think, actually, looked like a bomb shop, because there's very little wood framing left, and there's three guardians, like, destroyed guardians by this thing, so he's like, what if this was a bomb shop? It caught fire, all the bombs exploded, and killed these three guardians with it.
So, that'd be cool.
Everywhere you look in Breath of the Wild, there's, like, if you do a little bit of forensic work, like, there's a story to be told. Like, there's a guardian, I think, up by the research facility, like, in north of Death Mountain there. There's a guardian with an arrow in its eye, and then, like, a little bit further on from him is a dead archer, like a bones and... armor and a bow and stuff, so it's like that guy's like final stand was killing that guardian, essentially.
It makes the world so much more lived in, you know, and like, yeah, lived in worlds are just lemony fresh. That's, yeah, what you want.
Okay, so there's cave paintings. So with these cave paintings referencing pre-calamity times, we love to hop back in time and see Hyrule before it fell. To see Castletown and all the outposts and farms from Breath of the Wild at their peak, bustling from the ruin, it would certainly be a malarkey to return to the past knowing what the future has in store. That's just our wishful thinking at the moment. And with a little more confirmed or denied right now, we're free to dream. Free to dream.
If you did do that, how would, like, the adventure would be much more difficult to piece together. Like, what kind of adventure could you have in a... like a societal world, you know?
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda steampunk 2027. No. But you know what I mean? Like if all the towns are happy and working and running, and it's like, it really waters down the story to being like, you know, with the post-apocalyptic, you can have monsters everywhere and adventures, but like when there's all these towns and stuff, it's harder to go out and have that massive grand Legend of Zelda adventure, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we are. Tyler McVicker, who runs the Valve News Network YouTube channel and has a Nintendo channel on the side, has detailed a number of Breath of the Two.
I really hope they do not call it Breath of the Wild 2. That would be the worst name.
Breath of the Wild-er.
more breaths in the wilder lands.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even think of something funny to say about that.
We'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll think of something. Okay, so that's all that people are speculating right now. What kind of features would you like to go away from Breath of the Wild? Was there any features you didn't like? Besides the Korok seeds, because that's obvious.
Besides the which one?
The Korok seeds.
I think the Quark Seeds are interesting. They're just intense. Like, I like collectibles, and I like digging around for secrets. Damn, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think if there's anything that really annoyed me about Breath of the Wild.
So, I think we talked about Breath of the Wild 2 last year with Adam, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's two things that we were wondering. One was, how are they going to make the land kind of fresh again? Like, are all the shrines still going to be there?
Are all the towers
going to be there and available to fast travel? Because presumably, if you're playing this game, you played the first one.
Yeah.
Right?
So, it would be weird to just jump in on this one.
But at the same time, what if the game looks at your Switch save data and sees that you have a game of Breath of the Wild and then uses data from that in this game? So it's like, oh, you have the Golden Pile of Poo. Here's your DLC Golden Pile of Poo armor.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, I think that would be a good thing. Or even if you have a Breath of the Wild 1 and you go to play Breath of the Wild 2 and you haven't discovered a certain amount of shrines, if they are there in the second one, maybe those ones wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Or not discovered yet or something. Like, that's... Or how are they going to take away all of Link's powers? Like, if you start this game, are you going to start with all of the...
Well, you essentially get all powers the, and you get all the shit in the beginning of the game on the last game, right? So you would have stasis and chronosis and all those, magnesis, all those. I think they would just give those to you. However, I feel like they are going to introduce maybe a new one. I don't even know what else you could do. Like, they pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to do, like, Breath of the Wild 2. You know, it's got to be something new. Like, you probably wouldn't use your sheet. What's it called? The
Sheikah Slate?
Yeah, Sheikah Slate. Like, they'd probably take that away. You don't need that anymore. Or you wouldn't, like, if this is after Calamity Ganon, then you wouldn't really need it anymore. And if it was before, you wouldn't have it yet. So it's got to be... Got to be something new.
I disagree. I think they're going to keep the Sheikah Slate. I think it plays a too big of a role in Breath of the Wild for it just to be kind of thrown aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I think they're going to add a new power. What they will add is completely up in the air because I have no idea what they could even add. Like, you basically don't breathe fire. Like, that's the only thing it doesn't do is, like, breathe fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Maybe you can switch from cryosis to heatosis or something. I don't know what you'd call that.
I want Legend of Zelda farming, where you just farm the beasts that you ride down. You know how they're riding that buffalo thing?
Yeah.
You just have a farm and you just raise the buffalo, and that's it.
And
Legend of Zelda farming simulator.
And then Twilight Princess is born.
Yeah.
Because you start on a farm.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so what else could they put in this game? I think they should have traditional dungeons, because I miss those.
Yeah, yeah, like Link to the Past dungeons.
Yeah, that was good shit. Did I like the dungeons in Skyward Sword? I liked some of them. Some of them were really cool, but there's a bunch of them that were actually annoying. Like, the ship one, you haven't played the game. There's a dungeon... where you have to go to a ship, and you're in the ship, you're exploring the ship, and then the ship starts sinking as you fight the boss. And, what's his name? Igoraptor does a hilarious rant on Skyward Sword. The boss in there is like a giant, like, octopus-y looking thing with a giant eyeball. He's like, oh, I wonder what his fucking weak point is.
Yeah.
Very
Legend of Zelda weakness for the bosses, yeah.
Goma. Oh, I wonder what your fucking weakness is. But Igoraptor doesn't actually like... he likes Ocarina of Time, but he doesn't think it's the best of all time. And he, like, made a... he did a sequelitis video where he was comparing Link to the Past versus Ocarina of Time and why Link to the Past is a superior game.
I love Link to the Past. I think Link to the Past is probably my favorite Legend of Zelda.
If you guys have not seen that sequelitis episode, you need to watch it if you're a Zelda fan. Like, he hits every point perfectly on the head in terms of Ocarina of Time. So, have you seen that, Cole?
I don't think so. I'll watch it after this.
It's brilliant. Like, and he's so entertaining to listen to. So,
I agree with you that, like, the traditional dungeons is a good one to add.
Traditional dungeons. Shrines are fine. But you know how in Ocarina of Time and in Majora's Mask, you could, like, blow up a specific thing of grass and it would reveal a hidden area? And and you'd go in there and they'd be like, oh, here's a chest with, like, 5 rupees in it. Like, why don't you make hidden puzzles throughout the land and your reward is a shrine? And then you go in and then you get a spirit orb and then you can go get your shit. I think that was a... the way they did some of the puzzles for the shrines was kind of cool.
Yeah, and Breath of the Wild is all about exploring Hyrule, like the above ground Hyrule. This next one, we've already, like, you know, we've done that. So I don't think they wanted you to spend much time in these dungeons because they wanted you to be in this amazing world that they created. But now that we're in the second one, or potentially Breath of the Wild 2, I think that opens up more for your traditional, you know, dungeon crawling where we didn't get in that one, where they wanted to keep it a little bit so you could do these all of these shrines here or there, but the catch was the open world. So for the second one, yeah, I think that's good. Like, you pick up a rock and then you get to go in a do a little something.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing with the shrines were fun, and they all were different, but they all felt the same. You know, like, it just didn't feel diverse enough for me, and they weren't long enough to hold your attention. Some of them, I'm glad they were short, because you're like, fuck, this shrine's fucking annoying.
Yeah, sometimes you would, like, you know how they always had the second, or there was always, like, another challenge hidden within it, so you would do your main thing, and then there was, like, something else, or there was always another
chest to find.
Each had, like, two or three chests in it that you would unlock, and then there'd be, like, a couple crap items, and then the one really good hidden one.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was one where you had to launch something. I remember it was like you had to launch a ball and have it land like at the end of this hallway or land in specific things, and it was so freaking difficult even just to beat the regular one. And then after you beat the regular one, you could go behind where the dude was sitting, and there was another even harder one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even. I could barely do the first one.
I hated the ones on top of Twin Peaks where it's like, oh, you need to memorize these fucking ball placements and then go to the shrine across the peak and then fuck that one.
And that was
I hated all the gimbal ones too, where you had to like move your switch. Like, get this. You're playing handheld and you have to move your fucking switch 180 degrees to the other side and you can't see what you're fucking looking at now and you don't know if it's the I hate those ones.
Those ones are tough, yeah. I'm not a big fan of that type of it works for the using the Sheikah Slate. Like, I mean, it's a type of minigame that works for the game, but yeah, that was like, that drive me freaking crazy.
It was fine if you're using a pro controller or you're playing on your TV, but when you're holding your Switch, like, fuck that. There should have been, and there was no way for you to just move it with your thumbstick. Like, you had to do that motion.
You had to turn it all the way around.
Yeah. So that was dumb. But, I mean, that's like the only complaint I have about the game. The rest of the game's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I said this on the previous podcast, we talked about Breath of the Wild, but the best part about Breath of the Wild for me was that I didn't know anything about the game. I only watched the release trailer and like was super stoked about it, but that was the only exposure that I had to the game. And then when I played the game for the first time, I knew absolutely nothing. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't look anything up on the internet. I figured everything out on my own, and that just made the game way better for me.
Mm.
All right, what else can we add? What about fishing? There's no fishing in Breath of the Wild.
Oh yeah,
you think there'd be fishing?
I the weapons breaking. There's such a fine line between that being like a great mechanic and just terrible.
Yeah, it's bearable in the normal playthrough. On Master Mode, it's fucking bullshit. I did not play Master Mode only because of that. And so I'm in the practice area, and it took literally 20 fucking hits to kill a Bokoblin. And I had, like, a woodcutter's axe. Like, that's, like, the best thing you can get in the fucking starting area, practically. And, yeah, it would break in, like, 5 hits. You're like, oh, cool. Thanks, game. And then I found a Lionel in the starting area. I'm like, I'm out. I'm just going to go back to regular mode.
I like finding interesting, unique weapons, you know, and then I would never use them because I wouldn't want them to break. You know, it's like, oh, I found this really cool whatever. And then I'm like, oh, when are the right times to use it? I'm one of those guys, you know, it's like you save all the best items because you don't want to use them.
Yeah.
That's so I hated that for that because I didn't want it to break. You know, I wish there was a way that you could.
Yeah,
I know
what you like. What if there? You know how you can get your clothes dyed? What if there was something you can go to? Like, you can go to a blacksmith, and he would enhance your item, and then it would add like Electro Blade Plus, and then it had more durability or something like that.
Yeah, if something broke, but you could keep it and get it repaired or something, or like use it again. It doesn't have to be for like, obviously not for every stick, you can't get every stick repaired, but or like rusty sword, but when you're in the Hyrule Castle and you can find all the cool like Hyrule swords and stuff,
yeah
there could be a character that's like, oh, I haven't seen this style of sword forever, bring me whatever, and then you can get these from me, you know, so that way at least if you find something that you at least like, you can have a plethora, not a plethora of them, but like...
I see what you're saying. So, like, somebody that you can just dump all this shit on and then stockpile it, and then you're like, hey, I want this sword now, and then he can go and...
It from him. Or he could, like, make... You know what I mean? Like, if he's like, oh, you found this weapon, and then you can, like, bring him materials. Because I feel like there were so many material options in Breath of the Wild, but there's only, a couple things you could do with it. There's, like, all these monster pieces. Like, it would be so much fun if you could, like, use those for a whole bunch of different things. You know, it's like, so if you bring all these, certain monster pieces to this character, he can put together something for you. Because I found that I would just have, like... maxed out of every single type of monster piece there's only one use for them.
Actually, here's a better thing. What if you could bring, like, once you got the set of all the things, so like the royal swords, broadswords, there's a royal scabbard, there's a royal shield, you bring all the royal stuff to the collector guy you're talking about, now you have the set for everything, and now anytime you find weapons of that set, the durability goes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that gives
something
you an incentive to
find... Something that'll make you actually want to use it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. We should be on the development team. I told you. Actually, you weren't here last podcast. I said every podcast we come up with ways to improve games, so we should be game developers.
Here we go. Actually, I think it would be fun. It would be fun. Like, I mean, our profession is storytelling, right? Like, we work in movies, and I think the video games is a great way to tell stories, and that's my favorite part about working in film is just, like, you know, coming up with, like, being creative. So,
yeah, I like the stories. What sucks me in games as well, but fun things to do in the game and how they're implemented, I think, is what interests me as well. But my biggest thing about, I don't want to get into game development because I'm afraid it's going to ruin games for me. Like working in film has ruined movies for me.
Yeah. Well, the thing is it doesn't really ruin it for you, but it shows you the difference between good and bad. It's like cooking, you know. It's like before you can eat anything, but when you're a cook, you actually, like, you can appreciate something that's cooked really well, and then stuff that's not cooked well, you're kind of like, oh, that's not as good anymore. Like, it just changes your taste, you know. So if you work on video games, when you play something good, you can actually look at it and be like, oh my god, this is so good. But then you can't really go back to the bad, or you can't stomach the bad quite as well. So I think being in video game development will just make you appreciate some things more and make you disregard some things more.
That's fair. So here, a little bit of a sidetrack. So any dudes listening, you can steal this idea. So I did a date idea for Brittany where we go to Walmart. Mm-hmm. Starting off really good, right? We go to Walmart or any. Well, actually, no, it has to be Walmart or some other department store like that. But you go down the freezer aisle and you pick out dinner. We had chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, yeah.
And then you go down the ice cream aisle and you pick out ice cream. And then you go down the snack aisle and you get some snacks. And then you go to the movie, $5 movie bin. You pick out a movie and that's what you watch. All right. So the movie we picked was San Andreas. And holy fuck, that belongs in the $5 bin.
San Andreas?
Yeah, with The Rock.
I don't think I know that movie.
Okay, well,
I
it's pretty. It's the first scene. There's like a girl that's like texting and driving, and you're like, she's gonna die. She's gonna die. Flips off the fucking cliff there and is dangling on by a stick. Like, her car's hanging on by a literal stick. You're like, okay. And then The Rock comes in with a, like, search and rescue helicopter. He's flying it. And they're like, oh, how are we going to get this girl from this car? Oh, my God. And Brittany, like, lower your fucking rope thing, dude. Like, and send a dude down there like any other search and rescue ever. But he's like, oh, we got to tip the hat. So he literally flies his helicopter into the most unflyable area ever. Like, he, like, I can't even explain. It was just so dumb. But he gets his helicopter has literally, like, centimeters of clearance on the blades. When he's down there, like, registering his thing. Yeah, I know, right? And then, of course, after they save this fucking stupid girl in her car, it cuts to when they get back to base. It's like, yes, you're not going to show us how you got out of that unflyable fucking scenario. Fucking movie.
I just looked it up online. They're making a second one.
What? What?
San Andreas 2.
What?
Yeah.
The first one was $5.
And it's a newer movie, too. I'm pretty sure it's not that old.
Yeah, I don't think it was that long ago.
Oh, shit. 2015. All right. It was 5 years old.
But yeah, and then the whole movie, my wife Brittany always falls asleep during movies because I don't know why. That's just like a fucking
thing. That's a very motherly thing to do.
Yeah. Well, she did it before, long before that. But yeah, she just falls asleep through any movie. The only reason she has to not fall asleep for a movie, if the movie's bad. Because then she's actually paying attention and be like, why is this, fuck this movie. It doesn't make any sense. So
it's
me and her
a strange reason.
Me and her were actually like tearing this movie apart the entire time.
That's good bonding.
Yeah. And we watched the CinemaSins episode of this movie afterwards, and he literally said everything we said throughout that whole movie.
That's funny. Good. So. I'm never going to watch it. I do not like disaster movies. I do not find disaster movies interesting. There's just nothing exciting about disaster movies for me.
Well, one of the cities that this movie took place in was San Francisco, and I'm like, oh my god, are they going to destroy the Golden Gate Bridge like in every other disaster movie in San Francisco? Yep.
Yeah.
So. yeah, we just... Every movie I watch now, I just call things. Oh, fuck. Brittany made me watch a movie called The Wrong Missy. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, oh, it's the Happy Madison, or...
Yeah, it's David Spade and whatever.
And, yeah, those guys.
But, dude, I've never felt so uncomfortable in my fucking life. That whole movie. Like, it's... the movie's about... he goes on a corporate trip to Hawaii, and he means to invite this girl that he just met at the airport that's super smoking hot. And they had a thing, and they almost fucked in the janitor's closet, yada, yada, yada. So he thinks he's inviting her, but he actually texts the wrong Melissa. He texts a different Melissa, and she's a fucking psychopath. Like, everything she says, everything that comes out of her mouth, every situation she's in, makes me so uncomfortable. Like, the whole movie, I'm like, oh. Yeah.
So it's made by Happy Madison, which was, the company that made, like, all the really good old Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up their recent movies, and on Rotten Tomatoes, it has like all the percentage of their movies. It's like 22%, 22%, 11%, 30%, 22%, 1%, 12%, 22%. Like, there's not a single movie on here that's rated over 50%. And a lot of them are at 0. Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, 0%.
Well, that...
Ridiculous that, 6, 0%.
Yeah. I mean, those titles sound like they're low percentage.
Yeah, but it's like the same guys. It's like the washed up Adam Sandler crew.
Well, I mean, what was I gonna say? The Uwe Boll. Any of you Uwe Boll's movies are fucking shittily rated as well. When he's a shitty director.
It's funny. I was gonna say that we can tie in the San Andreas to Legend of Zelda because. It's like we were talking about how Breath of the Wild is the post-apocalyptic, like it's the world destroyed after a natural disaster, where San Andreas is like the world destroyed after a natural disaster, and then you switch to the Wrong Missy, and I'm like, I can't tie this in at all.
Well, now you just did, so you know.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to come out with a new Switch as well.
Yeah, the Switch 2.
Switch 2? Two Switchin'?
Two Switchin'. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 on the Switch 2.
Or are they going to just call it a Twitch?
Ooh.
Just kidding.
That was like a Mickey Mouse laugh.
I did want to... We're building the change table and the dresser for in the baby's room today. And I... Mm-hmm. Brittany just gets frustrated over shit super easily. So we're putting the wheel things. I can't remember what they're called. So you put the tracks in the actual dresser, right? And then you put like the track liners on the actual drawers. So we're putting those on, and I'm like, just line up the holes with the holes in the fucking dresser thing, right? In the drawer. Mm-hmm. And just screw in, just hand screw in the screws, and I'll come in and tighten them after. And she's like, what holes? And she's like, losing it because she can't find these holes. I'm like, just set it down and like you'll see the holes, like you can't miss them. And she's like, just kind of freaking out about it. Anyways, I go over there. I'm like, oh, look, a hole in a hole. And I started laughing at my own joke, and she's not laughing because she's pissed off. And I'm like, oh, fucking come on. I did a perfect Mickey Mouse. And you didn't fucking
laugh.
That's
funny. Aw.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I got a lot of little voices in my trick of voices, or my trick of bags of voices.
So if we ever make a video game, you'll have to voice every character.
Every single one. I'll be the Matt Blanc of video games.
You'll voice the Link in the new in Breath of the Wild 2.
Well, you only have to. What game? Soul Calibur for the GameCube. Soul Calibur 4, where Link was in it. Dude, he sounded like he was just vomiting when he did those. Compared to all the other games. Am I not wrong? Let me just pull this up. I don't think it'll come through on the podcast, actually, so we'll have to figure it out.
Post on the Discord, but yeah, just the him getting hit by things.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty funny.
All right, well, we're just bullshitting around now. We're near the end of the podcast, but let's see. I asked on the Discordian. So I asked, we're going to talk about Breath of the Wild 2 on the podcast. What kind of things would you like to see in the game? And no one commented. Bradley said, did I miss an announcement? No. I just said that right now. Maybe he'll actually comment now. And then I'm going to go to our Facebook page now, because I also asked this on our Facebook page. Also, we have not done the gaming word of the week. This is two times in a row that I haven't followed my script. And now we've moved the gaming word of the week to the end of the fucking podcast, man.
Oh, switching it up a little bit.
See, every time I say gaming word of the week and I'm looking for gaming words, I type in gaming word of the week as if someone else is doing this shit.
And you're just like, yeah. We were saying something earlier, and I was like, that would make a funny gaming word of the week. Co-op. I was like, do kids nowadays even know what co-op is anymore?
Well, I mean, it does come up in modern games still.
No, yeah.
But here, let's see. Co-op in video games is when two or more people are able to play the same game on the same system.
That's the thing. Is like it's the couch co-op is co-op is like when you play the same game on the same system. It's not online. You know, like when there's a game that's like a co-op game, but you can only play it online.
No,
that to me is not.
I disagree. Co-op. I think co-op is a valid term for two people playing the same game. But I think split screen is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Split screen.
But split screen to me is like when you're playing against each other. Like split screen to me is you wouldn't call Fable co-op split screen. You know? That's more of like GoldenEye split screen or like Halo when you'd be facing each other. That's kind of what I think of when I think of split screen.
Totally. All right.
But
so,
what is our gaming word of the week?
I think it should just be split, like co-op split screen. Yeah, that's good.
Co-op split screen.
Split screen.
Shout out to all them co-op games.
Nobody also commented on our Facebook page. Come on, people. What's going on here?
I think it's a weird time. You know, it's like things are starting to open back up. I mean, at least in Canada for COVID and
usually I forget. Usually I forget to actually put the question on Facebook and Discord, and I'm like, oh shit, and then we're about to start the podcast, and I just like quickly put it on, and then usually one or two people comments, but I actually put this on like 4 hours ago. So whatevs. Actually, I'm gonna go to my page because I shared it on my own Facebook page, and let's see if anybody else commented. Oh, I know.
That's a slow week. Even like I almost missed the podcast today. Like I had some stuff that came up today, you know, and I almost couldn't make it, and then everything kind of turned around. So
yeah,
and people are getting busy again. We got to settle into a new,
time. And the other thing too is we are doing a random podcast on Breath of the Wild too, because there's no news, like zero.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible what's going on in the States with like the riots and just a lot of stuff. So I mean, it's kind of an interesting time in the world right now.
My two cents on that is Michelle Obama should run for president.
Dude, I mean, she'd be pretty dope. I mean, how do you put it? You've got the experience, and she's a good public speaker. I don't know, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap it up for this week. And thanks a lot for listening, guys. Join our Patreon page for exclusive weekly content, which we release for you Patreon types.
And if you join it soon, before next week, you can get in on our Modern Warfare
Patreon day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So next
Hey, even if
Sunday.
You join it for a week and then leave it after. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, but we'll be streaming it. It's on the 14th, or we'd like it to be on the 14th. We're seeing what our Patreons have to say about it. So if you guys want to get in on that, yeah, join our Patreon. And otherwise, we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.